So, welcome back to another episode of Music College Unfiltered. And this week I am chatting to Alice Flannery, who, do you want to introduce yourself, Alice, actually, rather than me introducing you?
Yeah, hi, Ellie. Thank you for having me on the podcast. My name's Alice Flannery. I'm currently in my fourth and final year of my undergrad at the RNCM playing the violin. But also, I was the Students' Union President at the RNCM last year, which has given me an interesting insight to Music College Unfiltered, I would say.
Yeah. So the reason I really wanted to speak to Alice on this podcast is partly because of her role as SU President, especially because it was in the middle of your degree. You've got like quite a different perspective to a lot of other people. But also, we've had a few discussions about our plans for the future and the kind of expectation of college. And I just thought those two things together would be a really good thing to talk about. So I'm just going to get started with asking you, what were your favourite things? What were your highlights as SU President?
I'd say my biggest highlight, genuinely, not just because you were on the team, was working with our team. Like, not only did we, I think, work really well as a team, but we all just got on so well as friends. Everybody had like the same energy and input. It was just so much fun. I'd say, like, time-wise, I think it would be Freshers Week. It was just like, what a journey. It kind of ruined us, but I'd say that's probably my highlight.
Yeah, that was amazing. We were all dead by the end, but it was so good. And also, it was so good because we didn't know each other before. And by the end of Freshers Week, we'd known each other 2 weeks because we'd done Internationals Week. And obviously, like, the lead up to that, we'd spoken online. But by the end of Freshers Week, I felt like we were, like, best friends.
We'd kind of already experienced, I think, all of our biggest lows of the year within those 2 weeks, as well as the highs. So we knew each other quite well.
Yeah, it was so nice. And also, getting to know people outside of actual, like, musical context, but at RNCM is so nice and refreshing.
Yeah, and getting to know people outside of your school and year group as well. Like, I think that's another thing I loved about last year, is like, now I feel like I just know so many more people. I made some really good friends that I probably wouldn't have really been in contact with if I'd just like done my fourth year, like usual.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. What was the reason for you applying to run for SU President?
It was a funny one. So when I was in my first year, I always used to make a joke like, oh, 1 year I'll go for SU President. So I get a free year of lessons and like a free year of college was my idea. But then that was very much a joke. That wasn't the actual incentive when it came to it. I don't know. I think being in such a kind of small environment and it kind of being so much of your livelihood as well as like just your study, I just like formed such kind of strong opinions, especially like around like musicians' well-being and that side of things. And there's just so many kind of small bits of college that I just started forming opinions on. And so the plan was I'll go to be an SU officer in my fourth year and then run for president afterwards. But then when I kind of spoke to the SU president at the time, which was Kathy, she was like, barely anybody's running for president. Why don't you just risk it if that's kind of like your game plan? And so I did. And then just became SU president, which was really cool. Just a year kind of earlier than I would have expected to have gone for it.
It's so good though. It worked out really well. Such a nice team to work. Well, from my perspective, it was a nice team, and it definitely, you did such a good job, especially because you like didn't know what the SU was like going into it beforehand.
Yeah, there's definitely in hindsight quite a lot I think you can gain from having been on the team before. Like, there was so much additional learning to do and not really anybody there to tell you, other than thankfully Kathy was so lovely and I could stress call and message her all the time. But you like, because you don't have a manager or anything, you're managing your team essentially. It was quite stressful, I'd say, the summer before. What am I even doing? What is this?
But skills that you can definitely use for life now. When you consider other roles or other jobs that require similar skills or are the same like managerial level, like you really are thrown in the deep end with this one. Like, it's not something you go out of college and be able to do something, be able to even like get hired for a job like that, really, without experience first.
I remember at the time, especially Linda, who's the principal of the RMTM, she would be like, oh, it's going to look so good on your CV one day, and you kind of hear it and you think, oh, will it? But then when you're actually writing up your CV and like going for jobs, there's just so much that you like just have to learn within a year that like, now I'm like, oh, I am so glad I did it, because there's so many skills and like examples of situations you've had to deal with, which I'm hoping will set me up well for job applications in the future.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm sure it will. There's no other job at this like age or this level of kind of experience that really has that kind of breadth of, that I can think of anyway, that has that breadth of, you know, I don't know how, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I do.
What were the biggest challenges, do you think, of being on the SU or being the president?
I think for me, one of the biggest challenges we've already said, which is the fact that I literally had no idea what I was doing at the start, which was quite stressful. I remember going into it and being warned by CUK, the Conservatoires UK network, of all the other previous SU presidents across the country. They did a whole big training session with us on delegating and how to be really good at that. So that's fine, I'll be really good at delegating, like, I'm good at that kind of thing. But then it comes to it and all of your team are doing their courses and all of them want to put everything into their degree. And so actually it is quite a difficult situation to kind of know when you can ask people to do things and when they're just being nice by doing it but they're already stressed and things like that. So I think at times I just, like, when you're kind of in mad work mode, I just go do everything, and then one of you guys would be like, I was like, what are you doing, do you want any help? And I'd be like, why did I not ask for help before? So I think in hindsight that was something that definitely could have been better at. And then what was the other thing I was going to say? And then also COVID happened, and that was a difficult situation being between students and staff then, because quite randomly students were really annoyed, but then nobody else was seeing the behind the scenes conversations and meeting, so many meetings that we had, being stuck between a rock and a hard place, that's the saying, isn't it? I felt that.
Yeah, I actually completely forgot about all of that and how much it kind of blew up around like the start of the pandemic. Yeah,
stressful and unexpected, I'd say, but yeah, good life skills.
I suppose it's a testament to you as well that people actually came forward with their complaints and, like, you know, actually bothered to say anything because they trusted that you'd do what you can rather than just like not bothering to turn to you or not knowing who to turn to, if you know what I mean.
That's a nice way of looking at it. I hope so. That was always the aim. I think all of us on the team were on the same wavelength, especially with the first lockdown. Like, it just, now we're so used to it, but at the start it felt so isolating and so scary. And so, like, my biggest goal was just for people to know that they can literally contact us at any time and that we're always there and our face is always there. And so, yeah, I like to think hopefully that would have helped people come forward.
Definitely. So speaking of, like, you know, it looking good on your CV and future jobs, do you have any plans for after graduation?
I don't have anything set in stone, but I have decided not to do a master's, potentially not a CPD, which is interesting. My original plan was, like, if I don't do a master's, I'll get a normal job but do a CPD still. But I think I kind of fancied the taste of my life not being 24/7 musical, cramming in music wherever you can. And so currently I've been applying to mostly graduate schemes, mostly in finance, because I started studying accounting in September this year, which was a random decision, but I've actually found it really interesting. I'm kind of in the middle of the process of applying for those, and it's a very stressful one at times, I have to say.
So for our listeners, to preface this, me and Alice were in a seminar a few weeks ago, and we ended up talking about, like, what are our plans for the future, and we kind of both, we were t- we were kind of talking about this idea of wanting to have a career outside of music and how that's perceived and how you second guess yourself if that's something that you want to look into. I suppose that's something that would be really interesting to talk about more on this episode, because for me, like, now I'm coming close to my graduation and I thought that I'd have a really clear sense of what I want to do, and I don't necessarily have a really like, I don't feel 100% I want to do performance. If anything, I feel less sure that I want to do performance than I ever have. So we were kind of talking about this idea that there's a bit of a stigma in music college in particular, around choosing to go down a route that's not necessarily related to music, and how often it's perceived as failure rather than you choosing to do something else. It's just a really interesting discussion that we had, because I felt like it was a conversation I almost needed to have with someone. I felt like I needed someone to kind of validate the way that I was feeling. Like, yes, I also feel that, and you're not a failure. I wondered if you wanted to talk about that a bit.
Yeah, obviously, I'm just so feel the same. I felt so much better after speaking to you in the seminar. And I found for me, probably from Christmas, I kind of had a realisation. And I found that since I've started just talking about it and just being open about it and not being embarrassed about it, it's helped me so much. And so, like, every time I get into a conversation with somebody where we end up talking about that, I'm like, it just feels so free, and it feels like a bit of a weight's been lifted off every time. And I think that just comes from the fact that we've been, but even before you go to college, oh my goodness, I remember before I went being told that, you sometimes get somebody that'll go to college and they'll never touch their instrument again, and it's all like hush hush, like, oh, that's terrible, like, they failed at their whole life when they went to college. And so, like, for so many years you've got this thing ingrained in your mind, and then having to deal with the fact that you're not sure whether you actually do want to keep playing, I found really hard mentally. Like, I'm still so up and down about it, about how I actually feel within myself. Currently, I'm like, yeah, I'm doing the right thing. And do you know what? And it's not the fact that you're not good enough to go into music. It's the fact that you trust your abilities to be able to do so many different things, and you're just open to that. And that is so freeing. And you can do that. Graduate schemes we can apply for with a Beamer's degree from a conservatoire, and we're just as likely as any other maths graduate from Cambridge that got a 2.1. We're just as likely for our application to be accepted. Like, it's actually insane. We just have so much choice.
Yeah, it's having that confidence to be like, yeah, I'm a multifaceted human being and I have all these skills, and like, I can choose which skills I want to use and which career path I want to go down. I don't have to go down this route. I think another like slightly damaging phrase that's often used is like, oh yeah, they went to music college but they never really made it. It's like, but what is making it, you know? Like, because then I think I start doubting what I perceive as my goals and what I'm just putting on myself because I want to please other people.
Yeah, it's baffling, isn't it? I'm still so confused by it. Like, I still can't work out what it is in my mentality that doesn't feel right, or what it is that's made me, yeah, for so long think, oh, if I'm not going for an orchestral career, then what am I doing? Like, it's so weird. And you just got me thinking then as well, I find it strange that the idea of having made it or not often comes down to, if somebody goes into teaching, you're like, oh, well, they never made it. And you're like, no, some people just really want to go into teaching. One of the reasons why I started accounting was because I thought, if I do a freelance career, I don't want to do teaching. And so that, I was like, that would be my other kind of side hustle, keep me afloat if I do that. But I find it so bad that some people are born to be teachers. It's such an amazing career to go into. And it frustrates me that this kind of weird stigma as well often implies that to go into teaching means you couldn't have made it as a performing musician, when it's just not true.
I suppose partly like that's just the kind of culture of going to a conservatoire. You go because you know, when you join, you want to focus on performance. But that's a decision you make, well, if you're doing undergrad, that's a decision you make when you're like 18 19 17 18 19. Mm-hmm. And so much changes in your life. And also I think at the beginning of when I was kind of coming to this realization, like, maybe this isn't the path for me, I felt so much shame, because so much of it felt like, it's because I want this kind of life and I want to be able to support, do you know what I mean? Financially and in my time, I want the kind of structure of a more normal job. Mm-hmm. And I think I was putting shame on myself, because I was like, oh, but you should put your career first. And like, as a feminist, you should think this and you should like be striving for this. Whereas like, what I should be putting first, or what we all should be putting first, is what's going to make us happy and what's going to keep us afloat. And if that's not this like crazy career performing, which is never guaranteed anyway, then it's not that, and that's like fine.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Sorry, you really got me like on a roll now. And I've been trying to work out whether my change of heart about music has come because of COVID or not. Because it's hard to tell, isn't it? So we've missed a year now of the fun bits of music as well. But what I've found really interesting is, in COVID for me, the one thing I have realised is that my kind of biggest priorities in my life and the things that charge me as a person is socialising with my friends and family, like really close touch with them, and having time to like go on nice walks and just do nice things and chill. And it's just not something that I've ever had in doing music, because obviously that's socialising, to be fair, you get it at the bar, but then you're probably going to be up at like 7 a.m. the next day hating your life because you're a bit hungover because you're socialised and you've got to go for another 12 hours. And we had a BBC Phil talk or whatever like a few weeks ago, and I was asking one of the violinists about their schedule and like what they do, and they explained that, oh wow, so many amazing things that they do like normal times without COVID. But I came away and was just like, I just don't want that lifestyle. Like, it didn't appeal to me. It feels so boring to say as a musician, but the idea of having a 9 to 5 and then having your whole evenings and your weekends to do with what you want, which for me is socialising, having downtime, having a work-life balance. I'm like, is it so bad? But that's actually just really appeals to me.
Yeah. And I find it so exciting, this idea of having structure. But that's we shouldn't be made to feel bad about it. And I suppose I'm saying this as if everyone's bad and everyone's made me feel like this. I wouldn't say there's any one person that said anything to me that's like specifically said, like, ingrained this in me, but it's like subliminal messages, or like, you know, you're having a lesson with your teacher and they're like, so what pieces are you going to do for your master's auditions? And you're like, and I know what you mean about this whole idea of when you say it to someone else, or when someone asks you what you're doing and you're like, this is my plan, and you feel like that weight's been lifted off your shoulders, and it makes me even more excited. But I haven't had that conversation with my teachers yet, because I just can't bring myself to do it. I'm like scared, and I don't want to make them feel, I don't want to disappoint them.
That's probably been one of the biggest like weight off my shoulders conversations I've had, though. Like, the first time when I mentioned it to my teacher as well, it was my first lesson back after Christmas, and I think she was just shocked, because I just hadn't said anything, and like the whole first term of this year had felt so hard, and then I've gone to my lessons like smiling, woo, yeah, can't wait to play my study and concerto for you today. And then because of the fact that I've been so like blasé about it, but partly because I didn't even realise it myself, I don't think. And then suddenly after Christmas, it's like, right, so this is the plan. I've already cancelled X, Y, and Z. I'm going to do this. It was a big shock. But do you know what? I think like, I think for me anyway, Kath, my teacher, is so lovely. Like, her biggest priority is probably always me kind of feeling like succeeding in my life and what I want to do. And so she's obviously been so supportive and so lovely about it. And I've now spoken to like Cecily Ward, who would be my teacher for my CPD, and told her all about it as well. And she's like just come back and given me her whole story and like her struggles and how fine it is. And oh, it's just so nice. Like, everybody understands. And you're right, there's not one person saying that, oh, this is what you should be doing, or you should be ashamed if you're doing this. I think it's actually the opposite. It's just the fact that we're surrounded by people that are genuinely so in love with it and so inspired and always thinking about this mad career, that you feel like the odd one out. And I think by like a process of elimination almost, you're the person that shames yourself more than the other way around, if you know what I mean.
I suppose it's because you spend 4 years putting so much into your skill, and it can be scary to think that maybe, not that it's a waste, but it's that you're not doing what you initially thought you'd be doing.
And with, you have to remember, with literally every other uni degree, like, look at all of your friends at other unis, people don't tend to go directly into this exact field that they studied. In fact, I mean, I have no statistics here, but I would say the majority of people don't, and maybe don't ever go into a field that's directly linked to their degree. But all the transferable skills that you have, which we do actually have loads, but since I've been writing up a really kind of professional CV, but including all the skills I've got for my degree as a musician, you look at it and you're like, yeah, there's so much here that an employer would genuinely be impressed by when you properly break it down. You just think, why don't we also realise that we just have so many more options, like everybody does who gets a degree. We don't have to just be a performer. Yeah.
And also, there's so many degrees even within music, mm-hmm, that aren't performance and offer the structure of a 9-to-5 job and stability. So you don't even have to like completely leave the music industry behind to kind of, mm-hmm, fulfill that, you know, those kind of needs.
Yeah, I so agree. That's exciting. And one thing that, sorry, I'll stop ranting about in a minute, but one thing that also I found quite stressful in the past like couple of years is people talking about a portfolio career all the time. Portfolio, because that just also screams to me like slightly hectic, like need to be able to do loads of different things, still really hands-on music. And I think, I don't know whether it's, I think it's great that they tell you, you know, go for a portfolio career and we'll give you the skills to be able to do that. But I guess, yeah, that's the example you gave is an example of a portfolio career in music, but not the one that we really talk about, which could be, yeah, working in a more administration or management or God knows what role in the arts without it being kind of leading workshops and teaching and doing a concert. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. For me, when I was kind of umming and ahhing about what I wanted to be doing next year, a lot of it felt like if I didn't do music, it would be seen as lazy. And I hate the idea of laziness. The reason that I say that is some people might think, I don't know who would think this, but in my head, some people will think, oh, 9-to-5, like she's just being told what to do. She does the job and then she goes home. And like, that's it. Whereas like, you know, these people with portfolio careers that are doing like late nights, early mornings, like maybe that seems like they're like way more hardworking. And I'm sure a lot of them are really, really hardworking, but you can be hardworking and have a good work-life balance as well.
Yeah, that's true. I kind of get you actually what you mean there. And in a way, this will sound terrible to say now because it kind of goes with your point, but I think I found music just so stressful. Like anything you go for, the chances of getting it is so slim. You know, the hours you put in is just unreal compared to like what you actually get back so often. And I have to say, like I say, I'm only halfway through applying for grad school and I haven't got any jobs. But so far, I kind of looked at the idea of doing it and was like, wow, I'm never going to even get to a kind of second round for anything. And then you're like, oh, actually, like, it kind of does feel easier so far compared to anything you've gone for in music, which it did get me thinking, because I agree, I kind of worry that it looks like the lazy route. And I was like, is it the lazy route or is it the wiser route? Because I'm just like, I'm playing with my skills. I'm going for things I feel really passionately about, which I haven't as much for the thing I've been going for in music recently. So I'm like, maybe that's actually what's coming across more than the fact that it's just an easier route, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And if you change your mind, you're not going to forget how to play the violin. Like, these skills, yeah, it might take you a while to get back in practice, but these skills don't just disappear.
Yeah, and I'm saying this all the time at the moment, but we're in our early 20s, and if you ask me on all the books and things I've read over the past year especially, your 20s, early 30s are for figuring your life out and trying loads of other things. And what's the point in just sticking on this one path and never knowing and kind of what ifing? I'd much rather take years out and use it now, do loads of random stuff, and then be like, I regret that. I need to get my playing back to the level it was at, because I love music and that's what I want to go into.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. Definitely. It's so good to like speak to someone else that has a kind of a different plan.
I found the same, especially because like my twin brother James is a viola player at Guildhall, and so we've just done our whole like musical journey together, and it's felt so terrifying, like veering off of that, and like telling, I'm not from a musical family, and so I think like the thought of telling them was scarier than telling my teacher, because I knew they would ever be angry or be like, you've wasted your degree or anything, but just because they've supported me so much through music for so long that like the thought of disappointing them and not carrying on as James is felt so bad for so long. And then now I've kind of broke through that barrier. I'm like, it's so exciting. Like, there's just, there's so much possibility in our lives, Ellie. I love it. I'm here for it. We're only just, like, about to leave college. And we can do what we want.
So true. And as you say, like, your early 20s are for figuring it out. I suppose we're quite lucky, like, in that sense that we, like, have the option to just kind of figure it out. Have you found it weird going from, like, being in a full-time job to being a student again, like as SU president? I mean, it's, I suppose it's different because you're at college, but yeah
it's a good question, and yes, I found it hard. I think that's what I mean, it's just so hard to tell whether it's COVID or just how I would have been anyway. But for me, I thought about it before I went for SU president. I thought, wow, it will be 5 years at college essentially, and once I've had a year of being at SU as well, and at the time it's like, oh, that would be great, I'll love 5 years at college. And then I did my fourth year as SU president instead of doing my fourth year, and then I was like, I'm ready to go out in the world and work. I think you just, the sense of independence to have for the first time in my life to be like fully earning all of my money myself and not being alone, and my goodness, I mean, you feel so rich, even though the wage for SU president's like really not that much, but oh, great. It, like, so good. I just love the taste of not being a student so much. It's because I never took a gap year or anything as well. I was very reluctant to go back and be a student with a loan and no money again.
Yeah. Why didn't you rerun? Did you just want to get your fourth year done?
Yeah, I think that was it. I think if I'd taken another year out, I think partly, if I'm honest, I would have been terrified of rerunning and not getting it. That says a lot about me, and like an intense fear of rejection. Maybe that's why music's not as good as me. I just think if I'd taken another year, then it would have just been another year waiting to finish my fourth year. So I can't do that. I've enjoyed not being a student so much, so I can't wait another year to, do you know what I mean, to not be a student.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were to describe your time at college as a whole, how would you describe it? That's such a loaded question.
Honestly, despite all of this kind of talking about moving out of music, it's genuinely been like the funnest years of my life. Definitely, and like, wow, it's hard to believe that you're like studying for a degree for so much books. I genuinely found it that fun, and like just stepping into college every day was so nice. All the people are so lovely. It's just buzzing. I don't know. I loved every moment of it. And then Corona hit, and it's been different online. But I think college have done everything they can to make it as good online as they can. But it's just never obviously going to be the same as in person.
Yeah, and actually, you know, despite everything we've said about this whole stigma around leaving music, the whole reason that we can even like choose to explore that option is because of how many skills we've gained from being at college, and like mm-hmm. the life experience that RNCM has given us, and how even though we were at a conservatoire doing a performance heavy degree, we learned so much about everything else that's given us these options to kind of explore other paths. So
yeah, I agree. I think it's been so good, but it doesn't mean that you can't explore other things just because it's been so good. I don't know, I just have a gut instinct in me at the moment that I need to try other things, but it doesn't mean that college hasn't been amazing and hasn't set us up to be really good musicians or to do something else.
So thank you, Alice, for coming on this podcast and talking to me. I found this conversation so interesting and really helpful for me personally, if nothing else. And I hope everyone at home has enjoyed listening too.